Well, do have your Bibles open at Matthew chapter 13, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 9 and then verses 18 to 23. Matthew chapter 13 contains seven parables dealing with the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. In other words, they focus upon the reign of Jesus Christ over his people. And in this first parable, the parable of the sower, really the emphasis is on entering the kingdom of Christ. So let us hear the word of the Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." And then picking up the reading in verse 18. "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. I wonder if you've ever asked the question, why is it that so many people reject the gospel whilst others receive it and believe it? What is it that accounts for the difference between those who reject the word of Christ and those who believe it? And the Bible provides several answers to that question. But here in this parable of the sower, we're told that the reason for this reality doesn't lie so much in the message of the gospel. The reason actually lies in the hearts of those who hear and who respond to that message. You see, the point that is being made in this parable is that one message, one gospel message, produces different responses in different hearers. And you can actually see that in the details of the parable. We have one sower, and that sower represents, I think, primarily those who go out and preach the word, but perhaps it includes more broadly all of us who, as Christians, are meant to communicate the gospel. We have one sower, and we have one seed, that is the message of the gospel, the word of the kingdom, as Christ describes it. But then, as you see, we also have four different types of soil, four different terrains. And each of these different types of soil represent different heart responses to the word of the kingdom that has been sown and preached by the sower. Some of the terrains are hard, others are shallow, others are what you might call choked, but others are open and responsive. And what Jesus is really saying here in this parable, this is what he's driving at, is this. He's saying, be sure that you are not one of the faulty hearers. Be sure that you are not someone whose heart is hard or shallow or chokes that word. Make sure that you are someone who hears the gospel with a receptive and open heart. And so what I simply want to do in our time together is look at these different heart responses to the gospel, to the word of the kingdom. And what we'll see is that there are three heart responses that we are to avoid, and that there is one we are to cultivate. First of all, then, we have the hard heart. We need to avoid the response of the hard heart. And this is represented by the seed that falls on the path. If you look down at your Bibles, you see Jesus says in the second half of verse 3, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. And then he goes on to explain what this means in verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what's been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. There is seed that falls on hard ground and it just lies there. It doesn't take any root at all. It cannot. It just lies on the surface. And it's exposed to birds coming along and snatching it away. And Jesus is saying that some people's hearts are just like that. Their hearts are hard. Their hearts have been hardened by sin to resist the truth and the claims of Christ. They don't want Jesus to have anything to do with them. They don't want Christ to rule over them. They want to be in charge of their own lives. They have been hardened by sin, perhaps over many years, to the claims of Christ. And besides, in addition to that, Satan is active, and he quickly takes away any spiritual sensitivity that they may well have had. And the result is that the gospel, the word of the kingdom, just makes absolutely no sense to them whatsoever. And they don't want anything to do with it. I remember hearing the story of William Wilberforce, the famous slave trade abolitionist, one time taking along a good friend of his, William Pitt the Younger, who was prime minister at the time. And Wilberforce took him to this church service where one of the better known preachers of the day, a man called Robert Cecil, was preaching. And at that time, Pitt was a nominal Christian in those days. This is sort of 18th century. I guess most people, if not all people, would have called themselves Christians. But Pitt was someone who had a very nominal faith. And Wilberforce was hopeful that when he took him along to this service, he would hear the gospel clearly preached and his heart would be transformed. Well, Robert Cecil, the preacher, by all accounts, preached a very powerful sermon on the glories and the grace of Christ, and Wilberforce was filled with joy. His heart reveled in the truths that he heard, and he came out wondering, eager to hear whether his friend William Pitt had also reveled in what he'd heard and whether his heart had been transformed. And you can perhaps imagine how excited Wilberforce was at the prospect of hearing that his good friend had become a genuine Christian. But any excitement that Wilberforce may have felt was quickly dashed when Pitt turned to him and said, "I didn't understand a word that man was saying. What was it all about? He didn't understand a word that man was saying. What was it all about? He asked. Both men had heard exactly the same word from exactly the same preacher. But whereas Wilberforce reveled in the sermon, Pitt didn't have a clue what it was all about. Why? Because his heart was hard. Because the devil had snatched away any semblance of understanding that he may have had. Friends, do not be surprised if you tell someone the gospel and they strongly resist what you say, or if they think you're talking complete nonsense. Some people's hearts are hard like the path, and the devil will do his best to prevent them from ever understanding. And be on your guard as well. Be on your guard against developing a hardened heart. That can happen to Christians. We can develop a heart that becomes increasingly hard towards the word of Christ. Pray, therefore, pray that the Lord would give to you and to others soft, pliable hearts that receive the word. Well, secondly, we see, as we move on in our parable, what I've called the shallow heart. We've seen the hard heart, and secondly, we see that we need to avoid the response of the shallow heart. And this is represented by the seed that falls on rocky ground. If you look down at your Bibles, verse 5, Jesus says, "Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. When the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away." And then in verses 20 and 21, Jesus explains the meaning of this particular soil. He says, "As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away." Here we have seed that falls on shallow ground, and so any growth that there is just doesn't last. And what Jesus is saying is this: sometimes people will receive the word of the kingdom with great joy. Their hearts will delight in certain truths, in the truth of God's love, in the truth of Christ's sacrifice, in the truth of the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Their hearts will delight in these truths. They will rejoice in the gospel. And it will seem as if they are genuine Christians. But they will only endure for a while. And when tribulation or persecution comes along, they will then give up their earlier commitment to Christ. And why? Why is this? Well, it's because, as Jesus says, they had no root. The word hadn't sunk deeply into their hearts. They weren't truly regenerate. I think we can say theirs was, if you like, an almost faith. An almost faith. They looked and they sounded like Christians, but they were never truly converted. I remember reading about somebody who once came up to the 18th century evangelist George Whitfield and said to him, and I paraphrase here, he said, you must be thrilled that so many people are becoming Christians under your ministry. And Whitfield turned to him and said, "Well, come back to me in a year's time, and if they're still Christians, then I'll rejoice." And you see, Whitfield recognized that some people have what you might call a pseudo-faith, an almost faith. They may well look like a Christian. They will receive the word with much joy to begin with. But the word is not really firmly, deeply rooted in their hearts. And so when difficulties arise, they will fall away. And I'm sure many of you know people just like this. People who initially received the word with great joy and who seemed to be so zealous for the Lord and seemed to have this unbridled commitment to him. I'm sure you know people like that, and yet they've now completely departed from the faith. And this is one of the hardest things to see, isn't it? It is one of the hardest things to see, and it pains us when we come across people who at one time seemed to be such vibrant Christians, but maybe the word hadn't really sunk down deeply into their hearts, and that is why they end up falling away. And this serves as a warning to us, I think. With God's help and in complete reliance upon him, you must seek to ensure that his word is planted deeply in your heart so that it will never be uprooted. And so we have the response of the hard heart, and we have the response of the shallow heart. And then thirdly, we have what I've called the response of the choked heart or the strangled heart. And this is represented by the seed that falls among thorns. Verse 7, Jesus says, other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And then verse 22, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Just as thorns can choke the life out of seed, so Jesus says the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, can do exactly the same thing to you if you're not careful. The cares of the world, worry about money, worry about your work, worry about your children, worry about the future, and so many other things besides. The deceitfulness of riches, believing the lie that if you just have a little bit more money, a few more possessions, then you will be secure and happy. These are the things that can so easily choke the word out of us, choke the life of the word of Christ from our being. And it seems to me, as we reflect upon this passage, that this poses perhaps the greatest threat to us in the West, to Christians in the Western world, because there are, aren't there, just so many things. There's just so much stuff to entertain us, to occupy our time. I suppose so many worries, money worries, job worries, so much that can just distract us, frankly, and lead us away from Christ. And I'm not saying that these things aren't important or that they're not legitimate. Far from it. We're called to work and to look after our children and to plan ahead. All of these things, they are important, they are legitimate. But is it not the case, perhaps especially in the West, that these things can take on an undue importance? I feel it in my own heart. You worry about your children, you worry about the future, your work and finances and so many other things, these cares of the world. And you think, if only I have a bit, I could have a bit more, some more money, then it would all be well. And you're deceived by the promise of riches. And you're taken down by the cares of the world, and you're slowly but surely led away from Christ. And I think it can happen so gradually, just as weeds won't spring up, thorns won't spring up all at once, but will, as far as I understand it, kind of just gradually appear and gradually, imperceptibly almost, just choke the life out of the seed. That can so easily happen to us as Christians. And before you know it, you have just been led away from Christ. And you no longer really, if you're honest with yourself, have any interest in him. You're far more taken up with the things of this world. And Christ has become an irrelevance. And you're maybe even a little bit bored with him. Again, this has happened. I'm sure you know many, many people that this has happened to. And it is it is again a warning to us. I don't want you going away from this sermon today just terrified that you might not have true saving faith. But at the same time, this parable, I think, does warn us. And it should sober us. You should be asking yourself, you know, am I too wrapped up in this world? Am I too concerned about legitimate things? Our worldly cares, are the desire for riches, are they choking the word of Christ out of me? And so we have these three heart responses that we're meant to avoid and turn away from. But then fourthly and finally, we have the open heart, this response to the word of Christ that we are intended to cultivate. Jesus says in verse 8, other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And then verse 23, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Just as good soil, as we were thinking about with the children, just as good soil produces a fruitful crop, so too does the heart that receives and understands the gospel. This is someone who is a genuine believer, someone who perceives who Jesus really is, someone who is a sincere disciple of his, and so responds to him and produces much fruit. Now, children, I wonder if you've ever gone fruit picking somewhere. I know I used to, when I was a young boy, grew up near some fields, some strawberry fields, actually, and so every summer we would go and pick these strawberries, and it was wonderful. It was one of the highlights of my summer. And I remember I would always eat probably far more than I ever actually collected, but we would still come away with just boxes full of strawberries because, you see, there was just so much fruit. It was just a picture of fruitfulness. There were strawberries and raspberries just everywhere, and it was wonderful. And as I was thinking about this image of Christians bearing fruit this past week, that memory of mine came to mind, that picture of these rows and rows of juicy and sweet strawberries. And you know, it seems to me that we should be a bit like that as Christians. We should be a picture of fruitfulness, a picture of Christians who bear much fruit, seen in things like loving one another, loving God, seen in being committed to the church, seen in witnessing to those outside, seen in discipling others and in praying and so on and so forth. And there will be differing degrees of fruitfulness. Jesus makes that point clear. But as a Christian, you will bear fruit. This isn't a sort of, this is a non-negotiable. As a Christian, you will bear fruit. Why? Because by God's grace, by his Spirit, your heart is like good soil, receptive to Christ's word. And you see, that is the kind of heart that Christ makes fruitful. And so we have these three heart responses that we are to avoid: the hard-hearted response, the shallow-hearted response, and the heart that is choked, and this one response that we are to cultivate, an open heart, a heart that is receptive to the word of Christ and that is therefore fruitful. Let me ask you, what kind of heart do you have? Do you have a heart that is open, truly open and receptive to the word of Christ? But as I conclude, maybe some of you are sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, well, this all sounds just a little bit simplistic, quite frankly. And and maybe even a little bit discouraging. Maybe you're saying to yourself, I am a Christian. By God's grace, I belong to him. I have been converted. My heart is more like good soil than it is hard path or rocky grounds or thorns. And yet, there is still an awful lot of hardness in me. There's still an awful lot of shallowness in my heart. And quite frankly, sometimes it does feel as if I'm letting the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word of Christ out of me. I wonder, perhaps some of you are feeling like that. And so what do you do? What do you do? Well, there's many, many things, I suppose. But let me just say that there is one main thing for you to do. And that is quite simply, and it's so simple, but maybe we don't do this enough, quite simply, ask the Lord Jesus to reproduce his heart in you. Ask him to make your heart more like his. Are you not as fruitful as you would like to be? And surely most of us, if not all of us, could say that. Well, go to him who is able to make you fruitful. Think about it. The heart of Christ. His heart was not hard in any way. His heart was not hardened by sin at all, was it? His heart was not shallow in any measure whatsoever. His heart was not choked by the cares of the world or the deceitfulness of riches. His heart was perfectly good, wasn't it? His heart was brilliantly fruitful. And so go to him and say, Lord, give me a heart just like yours. Reproduce your heart in me. And you know, he is pleased to break up the hard ground that still exists in your heart. He is pleased to uproot the rocks that are still there. He is pleased to remove all of the thorns from your heart. That's what he's actually promised he will do. One day, you will have a heart that is perfectly good soil. Jesus Christ is at work in you. Be thankful that by his grace, your heart is good soil, more than it is hard path or anything else. But also look forward with anticipation to the time when there will be no more hardness, no more shallowness, nothing more that can choke your heart. Look forward to that time when it will be a perfect copy of the heart of Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would increasingly make our hearts open and responsive to your word. Make our hearts increasingly like the heart of Christ, that we might bear much fruit for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.